join us from Philadelphia. I guess I'm trying to add a little levity to what has been a very difficult day in terms of an announcement about Mark Giordano.
Yeah, you know what, Rob? It's not the news any of us were hoping for. And I think it goes without saying that anybody that's followed our team knows what, you know, we could sit here for the next 2 hours and ramble on about how important Mark is to our team. And just, you know, the on ice, the 25 minutes a night, the play in every situation. To me, this guy is the Norris Trophy winner, as the top defenseman in the league this year. And, but more than that, it's the, you know, he's the heartbeat of our team. Like I said, I often refer to Mark as the soul of our team. So, you don't go out and replace those people. You don't make a trade for a replacement. And if you try to do that, you're going to make a huge mistake. So it's a tough day, but we still have games to play. And we have a group of guys that have battled through a lot of adversity and have battled through the odds to this point in the season. And so this is our next challenge. And so that's, you know, when we talked to the group there the other day, it's, you know, in that time, not knowing how long Mark's going to be out, but whether it's a day or, you know, the rest of the season, we got to find a way now not to hang our heads, not to feel sorry for ourselves, but to find a way. And now we need a little bit more from everybody else. And we soldier on.
We'll get to the trade deadline in a second, but if you could, just a little enlightenment on the injury to Mark. This happened late in the game against New Jersey?
Yeah, it was the game in New Jersey. I think 40 seconds or something, face-off on our end. Monty won a draw. What happened was Mark went to rim a puck. Around the boards, and as he was taking a shot, slap shot, the stick got stuck in there, and it almost, you know, the visual, if you're trying to throw a baseball and all of a sudden you wind up and then stop, you know, kind of violently stop halfway through, and it, you know, the torque and the pressure on the it tore the tendon in the bicep. I think for those that were watching the game, you saw Mark go down. You know, TJ actually ended up scoring an empty net goal there to make it 3-1. And the importance of the player, I didn't know the puck was in the net because you're looking at Mark, who's down sort of on all fours, and started to breathe again a little bit when he got up. And then he went right off the ice right to the dressing room. So we knew after the game that he'd been injured. To what degree, we didn't know. And then obviously, you know, the news that we're talking about today.
What about the Friday? You know, he takes warm-up. Am I safe to assume that you were in a situation at that point that you were quite comfortable that he could do no more damage to it at that point?
Yeah, there was, I mean, what he had done right now, it was done. And it's like a lot, you know, we different parts where the damage was done. There wasn't, you know, it's just a matter of whether he could play or, you know, stand the pain. Really going out there, and that's just Gio. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't believe that he was going to be playing. He wanted just to, if nothing else, be around his group. I think we'll give his group, you know, that's just Mark. That's why he is who he is. And you know, if there was a fraction of a percentage that he could play, he was going to exhaust it. But you just can't. I mean, this just, he's unable to play. And so, you know, then we got him back home, and he'll be getting the surgery here later this week.
With Bradshaw Living, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, that impacts your weekend, that impacts your preparation for the trade deadline. How, that injury?
Well, I mean, it creates a massive hole on our blue line. And so you get to work on it and see if there's a, you know, the you're trying to add to it, you know. And as I said here earlier today, it was, you know, you're not going to replace him. So if the mindset is, okay, Mark's gone, let's go let's just go get Mark, you know, let's just go find somebody. They're not available. Mm. You know, those players just don't come available. A close facsimile is very, very expensive. And in some cases, you know, is a rental or is on something that doesn't make sense that may help you a little bit here. But it's not going to replace Mark. And at the end of the day, you're going to be sitting back in a month's time and say, what did we just do giving up, you know, whatever it is we had to give up. And we explored every opportunity, you know, from the minute Mark went down in New Jersey, that was, you know, that's been the number one priority, as well as seeing, you know, what the market is in terms of adding, as we've done, picks and those types of things. It was, how do we strengthen the blue line? How do we fill the blue line to a point where we can mitigate as much as we can the loss of Mark? And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a surprise to me. That replacement, Rob's not out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that we looked at, I think you got to be very careful of all of a sudden saying, okay, we're just going to go chase it. And you wake up tomorrow and you say, what have we done? You know, we could have got defensemen. We could have put in first round picks for rentals and those types of things. Just there was nothing there that was going to or did make any sense to us.
Hey, Brad, it's Pat, and the Sven Berchi trade certainly sounds like there's more to it than what we see on the surface. You trade him to Vancouver for a second-round pick this year. Can you kind of just divulge the details and kind of how that all came to be?
Well, I think those that have followed the team, Sven is a, you know, Sven's a good young guy. I've just gotten to know him here. With me coming to Calgary, I know there's been a history here over the last few years. You know, Sven was unhappy with his situation in Calgary. And, you know, over the recent months, you know, talking with his representative, they made it very clear that they were looking for a new opportunity. We're asking if we could pursue that. And, you know, I want to make it clear, this isn't by no means to dump on Sven. You know, he's not the first player to go down that path or feel that he needs a change. And from an organization's perspective, you don't just react to those sort of things. So we think Sven's a good young player and still is developing player. More recently, it was very clear, and it was made very clear to me in discussions with his representatives that, you know, Sven was not going to return to Calgary. He was not going to resign. His contract is expiring, and just his desire to move was such that if he wasn't moved, then he wouldn't be returning to the organization. Again, this is not the first situation that goes down that, and you can't just react to that. We went out in the marketplace for a long time, and tried to talk to everybody about, you know, is there a fit? You know, continue to work with Sven. My mindset wasn't coming into Calgary and say, okay, we need to move this player along. I think I've been very mm-hmm. consistent in the players. Yeah, every player develops at different times. I just felt, and it was, you know, as I looked at this situation, talked with everyone, our staff felt strongly. I mean, these are conversations we had, that this was going to go to a place that wasn't going to increase the value of Sven for us. So you have to read the market of, you know, when is the time to act and when is the best value out there to act. I can say clearly the second round pick that we received today is by far the best value we've discussed by a long shot. Nothing's even close, quite frankly. And so, and again, it's all timing. Those are not necessarily things that you just react and you have to read the market. Do you think that there's a time, you know, there's been times when players have left organizations, gone back, if it's gone back overseas or gone out of the world, you hold their rights and you act when you think it's appropriate. Our staff, and we went through it you know, that deal was talked about for, this is the first time this deal has come up. And the deal was made right near the end of the deadline because it was something we wanted to really talk through, analyze, and discuss at length. And we ended up making that deal.
So where's the threshold in a scenario like that? Like how much attention is paid to, okay, well, maybe we convince him to stay in the organization, or when does the pivot happen to maybe make that move? I would imagine that's a difficult kind of threshold to get to.
Well, I mean, I can tell you in these aren't short or off the cuff discussions you have, when it's made clearly that there's no convincing or there's no, and again, I don't think you need to be in the business of going to people on bended knee and begging and pleading for them to, you know, go through a process with you. But I can tell you this is a situation where there was no, you know, there was no convincing to be done. You know, he felt strongly in his mind. And listen, Sven's a, like I said, I enjoy Sven. I think he's a nice young guy. He's a developing player. He's no different than a lot of players. He feels that he's ready for the NHL right now. He feels that he can play in the league full time right now. And so obviously when he's not, then, you know, that's something he's not happy about. So I've enjoyed my time with them, but when it becomes very clear that there's no, you know, to your point, there's not going to be convincing done or dialogue to say, okay, you know, hang in there and be with us, then you have to make a decision. And sometimes that decision is we're going to stay the course. We think that value will get better. We think you play out all the different scenarios, and at the end of the day, you know, this isn't something that just came up. This has been a long process, and we just felt at the end of the day today was the day to act. Adding another second round pick, you know, in what we feel is a deep draft. And I know people mm-hmm. look at it, and you're always looking and saying, well, one player is selected in the first round. And absolutely, you don't want to make a habit of taking first-rounders and turning them into second-rounders. But obviously, after today, we're going to have to take time now to see where this thing goes in terms of the pick we get, what's used for it. But I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, in our discussions throughout the league, we felt this was not only the best value, the best offer that we've been able to secure, but we didn't see the situation getting better moving forward.
You said yesterday that the two picks you acquired for Curtis Glencross were two more bullets in the chamber. Now another second round pick. You've got three of them in the upcoming draft in that second round, and a number of picks inside the top 90. So do those picks, were they used as potential currency prior to the deadline, or are you looking more at when you get to the draft of the assets you have? I'm curious, overall scope of things, how you look at the picks that you've been able to acquire and the picks you already have.
Yeah, we both. We you know, obviously, when we made the deal with Curtis and getting those picks back, it was important. They were for two reasons. They were important for this year that we would get them. Not only we think it's a deep draft and what those things could turn out to be, but also we think they were gonna have more value in the next 48 hours in our discussions with teams as we looked at potential scenarios where we could use them to help us a little bit now. And there was opportunities, you know, again, we just didn't feel that fit. And, you know, even the players coming back, there's homework about, you know, is this a pure rental? Is there an opportunity? You know, we would have been very, we had no problem bringing in a player on an expiring contract if we felt there was at least a decent chance of that player staying with us beyond this year. Mm. And then also the level of player, you know, the level of the player that's out there, to do those again, to go out and say, okay, we're going to put two good assets in play. And for somebody that just, you know, we're just going to play and we're going to cross our fingers and hope that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. So it's, you know, and I, the hard part is we've as I've said time and time again, we really, you know, we want to help this group. They've worked their tails off to put themselves in this position. We got dealt a really hard blow with Mark's situation. You know what? We have to deal with it. We have to deal with it, and we have to move on from it. But it just, there was nothing there. There was nothing there we could come back and say, okay, we're going to put these two picks, we're going to put other assets in play, and feel that it made any sense, you know, not necessarily for the long term, but even for the short term. There wasn't that fit there that that we felt comfortable with in terms of spending those picks or those assets.
With Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Brad, if you can, just for the benefit of the listeners, today's also an important day in the American Hockey League. You have to assign players if you want them available for the playoffs. And you brought up Drew Shorin when you talked about Tyler Wotherspoon. Can you just kind of give us an explanation of what happened today in terms of making players available for Adirondack if they were so to get into the playoffs?
Yes, and I always preface it with Robert, my disdain and for the four recall rule.
Yeah.
And the archaic nature of it, but it is what it is. So yeah, by the deadline, you have to make those players available. Those players are on your roster. In essence, they have to be assigned prior to the deadline expiring to be available to play for the remainder of the year at periods of time or in the playoffs in the American League. So we did make assignments of Michael Ferland, Marcus Granlund, and Emile Poirier to Adirondack, and we're just sorting through some things with all the deadline stuff and and the pleasure of getting to speak with you fine folks. We're going to jump back in there and sort of sort out you know, where we're going to go here for tomorrow night and who'd be coming up. But those players have been made available. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily gone. They could be turning around and recalled very soon. So those players have been made available for the American Hockey League.
You recalled Drew Shore, and I know this sounds like a pretty dumb question, but my assumption is if you're bringing him back, he will play on this recall, or you have no problems with him playing because he has that, as we've talked about before, that situation in which he plays the next one, and he's waiver eligible, right?
Yeah, and we called Drew up today, and he's going to play. Obviously, Bob will determine when that is. But yeah, at the time we made the trade, we were excited to get through, and he's been real good in Adirondack, big body, and I can tell you, every second or third call today, when you talk about different scenarios, his name came up in 75% of the calls I had today. We were throwing a lot of different scenarios at us for Drew Shore. You know, lots of people wanted to see if there's an opportunity to move him along. So, so he'll be up here. He'll get an opportunity, and we need to see. He's earned the opportunity up here. We acquired him for a reason. We spoke to him about, you know, sort of going through a process, but he would go down and earn his way back up there. He has, and we will see him here at some point. And again, as far as when players play, that's Bob's call, and we'll be chatting about that here later today and as we get prepared here for tomorrow.
Brad, we'll let you go back and take care of the rest of that work. We appreciate the generosity of your time and what has proven to be yet another very interesting day for the Calgary Flames. I know you deserve some sleep, so I hope you get a little of that, and I hope you get a little peace of mind with the performance of your team the rest of the way. But thanks for doing this, Brad.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.